because they knew that if they ever tasted, then it's going to be over. Have you tasted Jesus? You know, it's strange that the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I didn't look it up, Brother Robert, but oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste him, it's kind of like there's nothing that can compare to him. And before you know it, you hooked. Now, nobody else may not believe it's true. Nobody else may not believe in Jesus but you. But if you ever experience him, you don't need no vote. You don't need no second. I'm going, if I have to go, by myself. Have I got a witness? Is anybody in here know that you got to go if you? I'm going to go if I have to go. Noah said, I'm not worried about nobody else believing. What do you think made him believe? Faith. Faith. You see, and the thing is, you have to understand is that when the word of God goes forth, no matter who it's from, if you hear it, God is going to be in it. The anointing is going to be on it. And it'll let you know whether it's true or false. Many of you who have gotten saved in the building here now, you ran into something that you couldn't deny. That's what happened. And what happened is you got a taste of it and you knew that it was real. You said, don't nobody else believe it's real. That don't make no difference. I know it's real. I hate to use this example because it's about me, but my wife ain't here to talk about her, so I'll talk about me. A lot of people denied that God, you know, calling me to preach. And you still may be convinced I can't, but the truth is, but you know what happened? It got to the point to where I didn't care what they thought. You don't believe I'm called to preach. That's your problem. He ain't on your trail. He breathing down my neck. He's saying, you go get your hammer, boy. I want you to tell somebody. I got to the point I said, you know what? He said, well, nobody may not even come. You're awful young. You're only 21. It got to the point where I don't care if nobody don't come. I don't even care if they let me preach at Zion Rest. I'm preaching somewhere. I don't need license. They don't have to ordain me if they want to. I had already encountered the Holy Spirit. And it did not matter what nobody thought. And that is the way I'm finding out that it is with the Holy Spirit. You got to know him for yourself. And when you know him for yourself, it does not matter what nobody else thinks. And he lets you know to the point to where you're going to do what Jennifer is doing right now. And Sister Isaac. They said, take me to the water. I've had people who've been in church for a long time, been baptized, and working in church, singing in the choir, and they come forward and say, you know what? It just happened. I just got saved. What? Yep. Aren't you a member? I want to get rebaptized. Ain't that interesting? It's interesting that Billy Graham, I said it before. You know when he really found Christ. You know where he was. He wasn't in the juke joint, they used to call it. He came out the choir stand and became a Christian. Now, how was he in the choir stand before he became a Christian? He said he joined, became a Christian from the choir stand. There are a lot of folk got their uniforms on, their robes on. Do I need to say any more? These people are not saved. And they're coming forward after the fact. Now, maybe they said the words because somebody, you know, here at our church, we start doing assessments on the children because there's so many people get up in life, I want to be rebaptized. Didn't you get baptized? Yeah. But I was just doing something. I was young. So we do an assessment now with our young people. And it can be offensive in a way, but what it does is it tests you on the inside. And we don't put words in your mouth. You come forward, we don't say, you want to accept Jesus, don't you? No, we don't say, so what do you want? We're going to see if anything comes out of here. If they say Jesus, and say, what do you want? What did Jesus die for? What did he die for? See if they know what's going on. And if nothing else, we'll know that it made a connection from their heart. Not just something we gave them basic. we asked them open-end statements by which we can find out what's inside. Salvation is an inside job. You can change all the church. You can put on all kind of church clothes. That does not mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. You just dressed up and you still going. You still lost. I started to say going to hell, but I don't want to say that. So Noah, he kept doing what he was called to do, and but you know when you get that sample. Now at the end of the day, you gotta save somebody if you're gonna be a spiritual hero. Are you a hero or a zero? Are you bringing anybody in, amen, to the saving knowledge of Jesus? God told Noah, he says, now go on out the ark. So he must have been on there with him. He says, go forth out of the ark. Go forth. And I want you to go out. And I want you, your wife, to go out. Mrs. Noah. Amen. Come on, Mrs. Noah. Mrs. Noah. Now, call your three boys. You know, there was a time when the parents led the children. Have I got a witness? But now the children lead the parents. They tell, now, what do you want to eat? He may sit up there and say, I want some candy. Well, give him what he wants. He said, no, you eating broccoli today. Bro, I don't want no broccoli. You're eating broccoli if you're going to live here, if you're going to breathe tonight. If you're sleeping in my bed, you eating some broccoli. Tonight, you eating broccoli tonight. Where's this generation come from where they tell us what they want to do? We're the ones supposed to know the more. We've been here the longest. We got the most experience. How is it that parents are following children? How is it that the children are having more influence over the parents than the parents are having more influence over the children? If you serving the Lord, is something ought to make your children want to serve them too, or your sample wasn't that good. Yes, at some point they got to make their own decisions, but for the most part, it's something wrong if you are as a family and nobody's following you. Maybe you in the wrong place. But it ought to say something about something that you endorse as an adult as to what your kids think about it. And the truth of the matter is, Noah saved his family, didn't he? He said, his sons came. Now, God told him to do it. And Mrs. Noah, she went on out. And then you had his three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We're going to talk about them next week. It's going to be kind of offensive, though, because it deals with race and dealing with the white race, the black race, and the Hebrew race. Amen. You got Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All were represented on the ark. Amen. Japheth came the Germanic, the white race. And then you got Ham, that came the black race. Then you got Shem, you got Eber, which really led down to the Hebrew language. That's up ahead, but that's in chapter 9 or 10, somewhere now. I started to do it today, but I didn't have time to get it ready. But anyway, I just had to go back and reserve some Noah. Amen. Now, all three of those boys represents the whole rest of the world. Because if Noah hadn't been faithful, God could have just wiped the whole thing out. What if, now there were only 8 people saved when God told him to build the ark. What if they wouldn't have been walking right? He'd have to make another Adam. What if Noah and his family hadn't been walking like God told them to walk? When God destroyed the world, there was only 8 folk left. That's a whole nother sermon, but there were only 8. But God had 8 people left. And if Noah hadn't did his job and his family followed him, then the whole creation would have been wiped out. Because all the people now came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The white, black, or the Hebrews. And so now we're dealing with the situation where God has redeemed. It's good to know that there was somebody walking right. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. While everybody else was going left field. Everyone else had become depraved. What does that mean? It means that they are degraded. That means that they're degraded. They're not of quality. They are sin sick. Depraved. Depravity. They are not good. They don't do what's right. They don't do what's true. They don't do what's holy. Good, right, truth, holiness represents a righteous people. Now, Noah was just as much a sinner as I am. But Noah had morals. Noah walked, the Bible says in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 8 of Genesis, Noah walked with God. That means that this was not a thing that you did, he did every now and then, but this was a pattern of conduct. Have I got a witness? Gandhi said that I would really be a Christian if I saw one. Gandhi says I haven't really seen any Christians. Y'all, I hear y'all talking about them, but every time I get close to one, I find out Christians just like lost folk. But I would believe in you all. You're talking about Christian, but I don't see none. I've been to your churches. I've worked with your people. But he says, I have not saw any. Gandhi said, I would be a believer if you all showed me somebody who were a believer. Whenever the believers act just like the world, then the world don't see a difference. Why change? It hadn't changed you. All it takes is for you to get rubbed the wrong way, and I find out that something ain't changed. You're apparently faking it. You don't have that love that runs from heart to heart and from breast to breast. Noah says that I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to do it if I have to do it by myself. I'm going to save somebody. If I'm moved with fear, if I'm convinced, you see, the church has gotten terribly detracted from the real mission. And we have began to do a whole lot of things that are really not primary. You never want to quit doing the main thing. The main thing is salvation. You know why Deacon Morris, the funeral, we was easy to have the funeral? Because we knew where he was going. And it's strange. He was 88 years old, and he still had a respect for Jesus. I said, you know, we gonna stand and have prayer. He said, I still want. I'm so humbled. I got to get down on my knees. I'm 88, and I'm still being knee bent and body bowed. It's just something about him. I can't. I want to go down on my knees and talk to my Father. And I may be the only deacon doing it, but I still got that feeling. I wanna bow down before him. That's what God is telling us now. We've got to be the people that he wants us to be. You cannot build a reputation of who you're going to be. You got to be who you're supposed to be. And God is saying that he wants us to let the world know how much we love him. And we've got to save somebody. We got to save somebody. God wants us, because that gets to a point to where we got to do the actual work. Amen. Are you doing the work? The fruit is more than going to church. It's more than just being at church. We've got to do the work. And God is calling us. Noah was warned of God. And Noah moved with fear. And he built an ark. He kept on hammering. Kept on beating that ark. He kept on driving those nails by himself. He kept building the ark. And God, over time, proved that Noah was right. Noah was, nowadays you got to watch stuff, got all these shootings and stuff going, you got to pay attention to them. The fact of the matter is that Noah was moved with God. He was moved with fear. And he did that because he had faith. So that's what God is telling us here this morning. He's telling us that we've got to have faith, because the world is drowning in sin. And he says, now God's judgment came upon the world and the ark went up. And, you know, this didn't have to be no cruise ship. So Noah didn't have to be perfect in how he was building it. All it was going to do is float. That's all. He's just going to raise it up and then let it back down again. Amen. It didn't need to have no high technology. But he got the job done. Have I got a witness? Noah built the ark and went on in. And took his family members on in. And God was on the ark. And when the water, when everything on the planet drowned, amen, God started over with a fresh family. Noah's family. The Bible makes it plain. Noah comes out. You read these genealogies. Genealogy number 1, chapter 5. Genealogy number 2, chapters 10 and 11. You begin to see the whole human race. And Noah came on out and he said, I want you all to multiply. He went back to having children. Amen. And those three boys began to populate the whole world. And you got all of these different nations that came out of those three boys. They were obedient to God. But what was God doing? God was bringing the Messiah into the world. He was bringing Jesus into the world. Jesus would come from one of those three boys. Would it be Japheth, who was the eldest? Would it be Ham? Would it be Shem? It's going to come from Shem. Jesus Christ would come from Shem. And the race that lasted the longest were the godly race. The race that lasted, that God used, was the godly race. Have you ever wondered why God destroyed all the other races? Because they were not obedient. Obedience is a game changer. Obedience is where the challenge is. Obedience, not just saying that you're a Christian. There are a lot of folk packing the churches, But how many of those folk are obeying God? Or do they just want something from God? God says, I want you to obey me. I want you to walk in obedience. I want the wife to walk in obedience to Mr. Noah. I want the children to walk obedient to their parents. I want Noah to walk in obedience to God. And if you want to walk in obedience, don't fool yourself by saying that I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to walk in obedience. You can get baptized 10 times. Baptism does not save you. Amen? Baptism does not save you. Baptism is a sign that you are saved. This ring does not make me married, but it gives you a message. He's married. Even if he ain't got the ring on, he married. Baptism is just a symbol that we have people who have given their life to God, and he's come on the inside, and they have decided to make him their Lord and Savior. The Lord God is my ruler. You never read in the Bible, God, Lord. It's always Lord God, because he's not your God if he's not your Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, that comes first. If he won't be Lord of all, it doesn't matter how much you go to church. It doesn't matter how hard you sing. It doesn't matter how hard you work in the church. It doesn't matter how much money you give. You can give me that $1.5 million I need right now. It still ain't going to help you. What you're going to find out is that God, you're going to have an obedient heart. What really saves you is not the amount of money you put in the offering plate. What saves you is walking in obedience to God. You want to obey God, and it hurts you when you don't obey God. It's something wrong with you if you can disobey God and it does not bother you. It makes me wonder whether or not you're saved. Christians are not people who don't make mistakes, but there are people who, when they make a mistake, it hurt them so bad till they just ain't interested in making that mistake no more. I did it, and it hurt God so much, and it hurt me so much, I'd rather not even deal with it. It hurt so bad till I just don't want to fool with it. I don't play with it and live in it. No, when you're really saved, you don't play in it. You don't dabble in it. You're running from sin. Before you're saved, you're running to sin. You're trying to find out where the party is. You're looking for all the parties. You're trying to find it all. But once you're saved, no longer are you looking for Satan. Have I got a witness? No, you're looking for the Lord, and you want to do his will. Do you want to obey him? Because that's a sign right there that you really know the man when you want to obey him. Oh, my flesh don't want to go. My flesh fight with me all the time. I have to wrestle with it. Anybody here wrestling with their flesh? Amen. That old sinful nature, it's still there. Until you get a new body, you got to drag it around. It's going to make you think some stuff. You don't make you wonder if you're saved. But you just got to say, no, I still got a choice. And the Holy Spirit gives me the strength to make the right choices. Because I know that I can make the choice, but I can't choose the consequences. So if I make the wrong choice, then I'm going to have to deal with the consequences. So I choose not to choose the consequences. I choose the consequences by not making the wrong choice. And that way I'm not put in the hands of the devil. Somebody got to be willing to obey God. And it needs to come from the inside. While you stand to your feet, it needs to come from the inside. God says, is there anybody that wants to obey me? That's a good sign right there that you want to be a Christian. You want to obey me. Amen. It's not about whether or not what I can do for you. It's not about what can you do to get me into heaven. You know what it's about? Is there anybody in here who wants to obey God and no longer obey my flesh? Will you be a Noah? Tell your neighbor, it won't be water. But fire next time.